How well, beloved, do you know the Word of God? There's something you need to understand about it. Because it is the Word of God, what God says will surely come to pass. What God has predicted, He will perform. He watches over His Word to perform it. So you can stake your future on it. But know this, if you turn your back on God, you'll receive the judgment of God. We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. Jeremiah 51 ends with, "Thus far are the words of Jeremiah." And you and I have come full circle. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we learned that this man, who was but a youth, was appointed as a prophet to the nations. And God asked him, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see an almond tree." And then God, using a play on the Hebrew word, says this, "I will watch over my word to perform it." Jeremiah was not to be dismayed by the faces of those when he went and made the proclamation of the word of God to them. When he laid out for Israel the fact that if they did not repent, if they did not return as faithless sons and allow God to heal their faithlessness, then God was going to have to judge them. They never believed it was going to happen. They would say, the temple's here. It won't happen. It won't happen. But it did. They had false prophets saying to them, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. And they preferred to listen to the false prophets. We come to the end of Jeremiah chapter 51. And we come to the end of his prophecies about the nations. And we have seen that chapter 51 and chapter 52 is very, very long. We have come to the end of our study, and yet there's one more chapter left. And it's like with that chapter, God puts his signet on the wax. He seals it, and he tells us and shows us that we are to believe that what he has purposed will come to pass. In Jeremiah chapter 51, we see that Sariah, who is the brother of Baruch, goes with Zedekiah and takes this message. They do it in the fourth year of Zedekiah. And I told you that you can read about that fourth year in Jeremiah chapter 27 and 28, when they were delivering another message about their need to settle down in Babylon. But what God does is he lets them know, although they were to settle down, although they were to pray for the welfare of the cities where they lived, they would only be in captivity for 70 years. They would come out of that captivity. And he tells them, as we have seen this week, come out from Babylon, come out from my people, wander away, flee, do not stay, depart, get out of there, because God is going to judge it. It says in verse 60, "So Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity which would come upon Babylon." All the calamity. And that's why he takes us from the present all the way to the end. And that's why we can parallel it with Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And it says, "That is all the words which have been written concerning Babylon. God watches over his word to perform it." Then Jeremiah said to Sariah, "As soon as you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud and say, 'You, O Lord,'" now watch, "'have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that nothing will dwell in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. As soon as you finish reading the scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it in the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I am going to bring on her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now they believe that someone else might have written chapter 52 because it talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. But I doubt that because Jeremiah was around. Why would he not write down about the destruction of Jerusalem? He was there. He saw it happen. He survived it, as we know because we've read the book. But let's move on to the way that God in his sovereignty has chosen to close this book. Now, we have read in Jeremiah chapter 39 about the destruction of Jerusalem. We have read about the siege of the city, but there are new insights given us in chapter 52. And in chapter 52, you're going to see what becomes predominant. What becomes predominant is the temple that they thought God would never destroy. Now watch what it says, chapter 52, verse 1. Zedekiah, he's the final king, remember, Jeremiah prophesies from the reign of Josiah all the way through Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, a different Jeremiah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, like all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, this came about in Jerusalem and in Judah, until he, God, cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now you can read about this at the end of Chronicles. You can read about it at the end of 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings. We don't have time, but we suggested that you do this when you get your homework, when you study with us. We don't want to just lecture you. I don't want to just sit here and just teach you the Word of God without you getting into the Word of God yourself. And you know, I want you to know, I am so blessed. I will get in my bed and I will read your comments, and I read them every, as they come in. I read them because it's an encouragement. I feel like I'm connected with you. Well, this is what it says. Now it came about in the ninth year of his reign, Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and he and all of his army against Jerusalem, to camped against it and built a siege wall around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year of Zedekiah. The 9th year, the 10th year, the 11th year, the city was under siege. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people in the land. Now, you and I know from having read through Jeremiah that after the captivity, when the people were left in the land, there was plenty of food out there, plenty of food. But they didn't have access to it. They could have if they had listened, if they had left the city and gone out to the Chaldeans and surrendered. They could have had food. They would not have been eating their children. They would not be skin and bone. It says, then the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled and went forth from the city at night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, through which though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went by the way of the Arabah. And it says, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered before him. Do you realize, do you remember when God said to Zedekiah, Now, through Jeremiah, he said, now listen, if you will listen to me, this is what I'm going to do. If you will go outside the city, if you will surrender to the king of Babylon, I promise you that I will spare this city. I promise you that I will spare your life. I promise you that the temple will be spared. But Zedekiah would not listen because he was afraid of going to Babylon. Remember, he was afraid of going to Babylon. He was afraid of what the exiles would do to him because he had been an evil king. But watch, it says, then they captured the king, verse 9. And they brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he passed sentence on him. And the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He stood there and watched Nebuchadnezzar and his men put his sons to death. He also slaughtered all the princes of Judah and Riblah. They all could have been spared if they had listened to God. Then he blinded the eyes of Zedekiah. Would be the last thing that Zedekiah would see was the blood of the sons of Judah, the officials of Judah, and his own sons. And the king of Babylon bound him with bronze feathers and brought him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. If only he had listened. And see, what is God's word to you and to me, beloved? It is that God watches over his word to perform it. You and I can know this. Everything written in this book is surely going to come to pass. And if we are wise and not stupid, as he says, and we make God our God and follow him, then we will know the truth. It says, now on the 10th day of the fifth month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the bodyguard who was in the service of the king, came to Jerusalem, and he burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. He burned them. They could have survived if they had only listened to God. We'll talk about it more in just a minute because it's vital that you know these precepts for life.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
Oh, beloved, do you realize that if they had listened to God, if Zedekiah, the leader, had feared God and listened to God, if he had made God the habitation of his righteousness, he would not have seen his sons die. The city would not have been burned. His palace would not have been burned. But most of all, the temple would not have been burned. God, as we have talked about all week, as Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, that they were to make God the habitation of righteousness. It says in verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 52, he burned. The captain of the guard burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, every large house, he burned with fire. So all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away some of the exile of the poorest of the people, the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the artisans. Those escaped. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest in the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. Now the bronze pillars, which belonged to the house of the Lord, and the stands and the bronze sea, which were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They're taking the spoils of the very temple of God to Babylon. Babylon, who is an idolatrous city. Babylon, who has been the hammer of all the earth. Babylon, who has been God's rod of judgment against them. But they're going to Babylon when they belong in Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is a symbol of the habitation, or was to be a symbol of the habitation of his righteousness. And it says they also took away the pots, verse 18, the shovels, the snuffers, the basins, the pans, the bronze vessels, which were used in temple service. Mark every reference to the temple. The captain of the guard also took away the bowls, the fire pans, the basins, the pots, the lampstands, the pans, the drink offering bowls. What was fine gold and what was fine silver? It was the best for the Lord. The two pillars, the one sea, and the 12 bronze bulls that were under the sea, and the stands which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. The bronze of all these vessels was beyond weight. As for the pillars outside the temple, the height of each pillar was 18 cubits, and it was 12 cubits in circumference and 4 fingers in thickness and hollow. Now the capital of bronze was on it, and the height of each capital was 5 cubits with networks and pomegranates upon it. Now listen. The pomegranates were worn also on the garments of the priest. A pomegranate, a veil, a pomegranate, a bell. And that pomegranate, they say that they all have the same number of seeds, which was equal to the commandments of the Lord, to remind them that they were to be a holy people. And the second pillar was like this, including pomegranates. There were 96 exposed pomegranates all around the pomegranates, numbered 100 on the network all around. These are things of beauty, and they're going to be carried into Babylon. Then the captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, with the 3 officers of the temple. He also took from the city 1 official who was overseer of the men of war, and the 7 of the king's advisors who were found in the city, and the scribe of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Now listen. And then the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death in Riblah. Now, do you remember Baruch? Do you remember Jeremiah chapter 45? Do you remember how God said to Baruch, "Don't desire great things for yourself. I will give you your life." His brother's life is taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and he is spared. So Judah was led away into exile from its land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away into exile in the seventh year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, 832 people from Jerusalem. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard carried into exile 745 Jewish people. There were 4,600 persons in all. What is he showing us? He's showing us this constant taking out and taking them into exile. These people, if you remember, are the good figs. They're the ones that have their lives spared. Now it happened in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, showed favor to Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. Then he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of those who were kings in Babylon. Remember, Babylon's been the hammer of all the earth. So Jehoiachin changed his prison clothes and had meals in the king's presence regularly all the days of his life. For his allowance, a regular allowance was given him by the king of Babylon, a daily portion all the days of his life, until the days of his death. And the book of Jeremiah ends with the capture of Jerusalem. But remember, there is a promise in Jeremiah chapter 3, as God says in verse 14, "Return, O faithless sons, for I am a master for you. I will take one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion." It says, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Verse 17, "At that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will be gathered to it, to Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord, nor will they walk any more after the stubbornness of their heart." Oh, beloved, we've looked at two cities. We have looked at Babylon and we have looked at Jerusalem. And when you come to Revelation, what you see is you see in chapter 18, the destruction of Babylon, and you see the establishment of Jerusalem. Why? Because the God Almighty reigns. What he has purposed will come to pass. As they're talking about hallelujah, the smoke, her smoke, Babylon's smoke, rises up forever and ever. Revelation 19:4, "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fall down and worship God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And a voice comes from the throne and says, Give praise to God, all you bondservants who fear him, the small and the great, who make him, in essence, their habitation." And he says, "Then I heard something like the voice of a multitude saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it was given to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, the righteousness." When you go to Revelation chapter 20, you see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. That's the city that you and I are to belong to and to serve. That's the habitation of righteousness. It's God's city. Well, beloved, we have come to the end of Jeremiah, but not to the end of the book, not to the end of the studies, because we need to move through the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter. And that's what Precept Ministries International is all about. It's to help you learn, study the 66 books that God has given us so that you might understand the purposes of God, so that you might know that what God has purposed, He will perform, so that you might not be in the dark, but you might have the light of life, so that the Word of God can be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, so that God, as He's revealed in this book, can be your habitation of righteousness. In other words, you will know how to live rightly, how to live in a way that is righteous before God, because you know His word and you are obeying it. We've looked this week at the end of Jeremiah. We have looked at two cities. We have looked at the city of Babylon. We have looked at the city of Jerusalem. We have seen the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, but you and I know that that city is still existing. It is on the map today, and someday it will come down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her bridegroom. And you and I are to be ready. Now listen to what he says. He says in verse 10 of Revelation chapter 22, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness." In other words, don't grow weary. "And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to everyone according to what he has done. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." What city? The New Jerusalem. Abandon Babylon, beloved. Abandon the world. And know this, that God is going to judge the whole earth, and only the righteous will survive. He says, "Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices lying. Inside is the family of God."
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.